Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. We're all riding the storm today. Into this house we're born. We're going to talk about suicide, the death of a nation, the death of a comedian. It's interesting to me that as the American experience has been crucified under Obama, the media had very little to say, while the death of a single comedian has literally engulfed the entire media. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Yeah, I met him on dog walks many times. We're both dog lovers. His dog Lenny and my dog Teddy knew each other quite well, by the way. In fact, each day Teddy would mark Lenny's hedges, and each day Lenny would mark Teddy's hedges. And we met on these dog walks, and we would talk. We never talked politics because we were on the opposite ends of the political spectrum. He was a member in good standing of the liberal Rat Pack. But he was a nice guy. I mean, the fact of the matter is, he was a nice guy, and he kept telling me for a year, he said, you know, you got to meet Mort Saul. You got to meet Mort Saul. Mort Saul wants to meet you. Because he heard that I liked Mort Saul. I said, well, Mort Saul was really the godfather of talk radio in that when he went on stage in the 50s with that newspaper wearing a sweater, and I was a kid, I said, who is this guy? What kind of comedy is this? Stream of consciousness. Anyway, they were good friends, Robin Williams and Mort Saul, and he kept saying, Mort Saul wants to meet you, blah, blah, blah. So he introduced us, and I took Mort Saul to dinner up to the chalet. And we had a nice night. Mort was over 90. He had suffered a stroke. He was a very interesting man. It was an interesting thing for me because I had first seen him so long before that. But getting back to Robin Williams, I can't say I knew him. The fact of the matter is, we never talked politics. We talked dogs. And he was a funny guy, genuinely funny. He was able to put his politics aside. I was able to put my politics aside. And we met around the hedge where the dogs both... He said it was, what do you call the hedge? He called my hedge the message board for dogs in the neighborhood. But let's stop turning him into a saint. Can I tell you what I really think about this? It's about the most outrageously aggressive act you can commit against your family. That's right, you heard me. I mean, a lot of people suffer depression. I've told you I've suffered it most of my life. Just deal with it like a man. What is this nation of ours, overfed, oversexed, overmoneyed, and we're all walking around boo-hoo? Why don't you go look at what's going on in Lebanon right now, or excuse me, in Ukraine. Take a look at what's going on in Gaza. Take a look at what's going on in Africa. And you're sitting and crying over what? Someone doesn't love you? You're not famous enough? You don't have enough this? You don't have enough that? What a country we live in. So it leads me to this question. Has anyone in your immediate family ever committed suicide, and what effects did it have on you or others? It's an act of selfishness, by the way. And it's banned by all three of the principal world's religions. You wouldn't know that, given the liberal brainwashing on assisted suicide. You would think suicide is as normal as choice. The same people have told you that abortion is as normal as having a baby are telling you that, hey, you know, life's not working out, just off yourself. Yeah, just end your life. It's yours to end. Don't think about what it might do to your kids. Don't think about what it might do to your wife finding you stiff on a belt. No, don't think about that. Just think only about you and your pain. So anyway, what is the Jewish, what is the Christian, and what is the Islamic view on suicide? What about Hinduism and Buddhism? I have the answers for you. And you're going to be shocked to learn that in Islam, as with other Abrahamic religions, suicide is one of the greatest sins and utterly detrimental to one's spiritual journey. And listen to this. It's very important you hear this because you may learn something that you can help one of your Muslim friends with. A verse in the Quran says, and do not kill yourselves. Surely God is most merciful to you. So really, since suicide is forbidden, then what about suicide bombing? Oh, so the jihadis are violating Islam. Did you hear that? So jihadis are not Muslim. Who are they? Well, they're violating their own religion. Most Muslim scholars and clerics consider suicide forbidden, and they include suicide bombing as being equally forbidden. Tell that to the morons who are being told that they're going to go to heaven. They're going to go to the other place, by the way. Yeah, that's in the religion of Islam. The prophet said, he who commits suicide by throttling shall keep on throttling himself in the hellfire forever, and he who commits suicide by stabbing himself shall keep on stabbing himself in the hellfire. What does that have to do with he who blows other people up? I guess he'll be blown up forever. We'll talk about the Jewish view of suicide. It's similar, because the Jewish view was very much that which the Christians and the Muslim folks picked up on. Jewish law was the origin of most of Christian theology on suicide, as most of what Islamic theology was on suicide comes from the Jewish theology on it. It's not your body, in other words. You don't own it. It's not your property. Has anyone in your immediate family committed suicide? What effects on you and others? An act of suicide. But why did Robin Williams commit suicide? I don't really know. I will tell you that there are many stories circulating right now about the fact that he was very unhappy that his new comedy series was not picked up by CBS. He was unhappy that he had to do these repeats of the old movies. He felt it demeaned him, that it wasn't, he wasn't, in other words, getting the acclaim he once had, and he felt unloved, in plain English. You have to understand something. I'm in the performing arts, whether you know it or not. You think I'm your brother or your father or your mother or your sister. In a way, that's fine. Talk show hosts fulfill that role. But at the end of the day, those of us who go out on the air every day are performers. We, too, are looking for love, whether you know it or not. And often we find hate. 30 books later, 20 years later, and I'm still hated by the liberal establishment that is lionizing this poor soul who committed suicide the other night. What was he looking for? He was looking for fame. He wanted more love. What is fame? Fame is love. Love is fame. Fame doesn't fulfill you. It warms you a bit, but that warmth is temporary, said who? Marilyn Monroe. She said fame doesn't fulfill you. It warms you a bit, but that warmth is temporary. And that's the warmth that people find in alcohol. That's the warmth that people find in cocaine. That's the warmth that people find in other drugs. They're looking for warmth, right? Or not? What do you think? I mean, that's pretty much what's going on here. Listen to what Robin Williams himself had to say about it. It was during an interview, and he said on location in Alaska in 2003, he started drinking again. And he says this, he says, I was in a small town where it's not the edge of the world, but you can see it from there. And then I thought drinking, I just thought, hey, maybe drinking will help. Because I felt alone and afraid. It was that thing of working so much and going, maybe that will help. What did it feel like when he had his first drink? He said, you feel warm and kind of wonderful. And then the next thing you know, it's a problem and you're isolated. Well, that's his words. So we all know he had, you know, problems, as many of us do, cocaine, alcohol, whatever it is. He said he didn't take up cocaine again because, quote, I knew that would kill me. He said, I'd have thought it would be a case of in for a penny, in for a gram, said the interviewer. He said, no, cocaine, paranoid and impotent, what fun. There was no bit of me thinking, oh, let's go back to that. Unless conversations until midnight, waking up at dawn feeling like a vampire in a day pass, no. So he was a multiply addicted personality who couldn't cope anymore. And you have to have compassion for him. As I went to sleep last night, I thought about what I would say today on the show. And as I said, I knew him through with his dog, Lenny, and my dog, Teddy. In fact, I said to Teddy, don't worry, Lenny's daddy's dead. What does Teddy know? I said, Dad, you know, Lenny's okay, though. He doesn't know what I'm talking about, but we do these things with our dogs. We have these imaginary conversations with dogs. We think they understand this. They don't really. They just get the emotional vibe. I'd like to believe Teddy looked up and said, it's okay, Dad. But he didn't. He just laid there and let me rub his stomach. But I hope Lenny's okay, truthfully. I'm sure Lenny will be fine. A lot of people loved him. But we're going to talk today about these topics, and we have some remarkable stuff, tapes of Robin Williams that you've not heard. Because during the lionization of Robin on the networks, you're only hearing the funny, bright stuff. You're not hearing some of the dark stuff he did about Rush Limbaugh and conservatives. You say, well, why are you playing it? Why not? What do I care? What do I care what people think of me? What am I in business for? For love? Oh, yeah, right. That's worked out real well. 30 books and 20 years in radio. That worked out real well. The progressive, liberal establishment really loves those on the other side of the aisle, don't they? If they could, they would put us into a boxcar and send us to a death camp if they had the power to do so. Maybe they can with a pen and a stool. We don't know yet. But here I am. I mean, I don't know the guy's politics. I know he was a liberal and a member of the liberal establishment from Hollywood, which is why, as I say to you, if the Pope had died, there'd be less coverage than there is for the death of this nice guy, this comedian, who I knew through the walks of our dogs. But I think you need to listen to me when I say to you it's the ultimate act of selfishness. Don't lose that in anything that I say today. All I hear, oh, depression this, oh, depression that. Dr. Schmendrick, Dr. Blowhard, how about saying for once that it's an act of selfishness to commit your suicide? Maybe it stopped the next guy from hanging himself instead of holding his hand and telling him, oh, poor baby. Poor baby, you're suffering because no one loves you. Poor baby, you're suffering because you don't make as much money as your neighborhood. Your shoes aren't as shiny, your wife's not as pretty, and your car is more dull. What a country we live in. Everyone's walking around feeling sorry for themselves. Everyone's about to commit suicide because their life is no good. Well, take a look at what happened to the people in the Middle East, because your Islamic buddies just took 500 of them, the Yazidis, and buried them alive. Tell me what that would do to your heart. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about what everyone's talking about, not the 500 Yazidis buried alive by your Islamic friends who were told to convert to Islam or face death. No, we're talking about the death of a nice comedian. And as you know, America has its priorities in the right place. Even the president took time out from his vacation to comment on the death of Robin Williams. Ukraine, Gaza, Iraq, St. Louis, Libya, it's all the same to him. So we're talking about suicide because I consider it an act of aggression towards your family. And unless you understand where I'm coming from, you'll misinterpret what I'm saying. There's multiple sides to everyone. Some is the public side, which we all see, and some is the inner side, which we shouldn't see, myself included. I come as close to all of it as you're ever going to see. But the fact of the matter is, there was a side to Robin Williams that you rarely hear, and here's one where he blasted Sarah Palin. Listen to this one.
And if always, if you want comedy, there is always Sarah Palin. God bless. She is wonderful. Sarah is a self-opening pinata. She is a gift. How did they find her? Was it Project Running Mate? Is that how they got her? Did Ronald Reagan have a kid with Vanna White and drop it off in Alaska? And it was raised by wolves, and that's why she hunts them. You're not my dad. You're not my dad. And she says amazing things like, I know about Russia because I can see it from my backyard. You have supervision, number one.
Okay, so that's easy, because it's easy to do Sarah Palin bashing when you're in when your audience is all stoners who think you're so smart and Republicans are so stupid and they're so clever. But when have you recently or ever heard a comedian lambasting, for example, Hillary Clinton or one of the other icons like Dianne Feinstein or Barbara Boxer? Like, I heard the white rhino was on the loose, but I didn't know it was running for office. What if a comedian did that about Hillary Clinton? I heard the white rhino was on the loose, but I didn't know it was running for office. I think that would be really picked up by the Tonight Show, don't you? Just loved by it. I think Spielberg would be knocking at the door for that one. So you have to understand that fame in this country is directly tied to your political orientation. Unless you're in the liberal mafia, you ain't gone nowhere, bro. You understand how that works? That's not to take away the man's comedic genius, which he had, and the fact that he was a nice guy. Don't misinterpret me. We like dogs together. That was it. But he always called me boss. That was interesting. He was always slightly weird when he met me. He was like, hey, boss, how are you? Always, but never said Michael. Never said, hey, Savage, nothing. Hey, boss, how are you? And he would sometimes crack jokes. Sometimes, frankly, I had him almost on the floor. People don't know this. I did some riffs with him in the street. I don't even remember them, but I did my shtick. I had his knees buckling. That didn't yield a friendship. Never went there. He only hung out with the people in the neighborhood who were unknown because they idolized him, and he didn't want to be around the famous talk show host or novelist because I think the competition would have been too great. If you have a comment to make on any of this stuff, we're going to have a piece on Robin Williams shortly that he did on Rush Limbaugh that you'll find enlightening, I think. Anne-Marie, WABC, you're the first up. Go ahead. What's your topic?
Hi, Mr. Savage. I had to respond to your comment about suicide being the ultimate selfish act someone can do, and I think your listeners need to know that. I think you have to understand that depression is a chemical imbalance in the brain, and he was not only depressive, he was manic depressive, bipolar.
So am I. So what? I've been this way since I'm 5 years old.
Right, but I think when someone is like that, they're not in their right frame of mind.
That's nonsense. That's utter nonsense. That's the psychiatric excuse for everyone's bad behavior. I'm sorry, Anne-Marie. There has to be some self-control within all of this. We all have a sine curve of emotions, up and down, some up, some down. Some more up, some more down. But let's stop with the medical establishment brainwashing us into thinking we all need to be medicated or given us the psychiatric voodoo to keep us from hanging ourselves.
Would you feel the same way if someone was an insulin-dependent diabetic?
No, that's a different story. It's not the same thing.
People that have certain types of depression, they have chemical abnormalities in the brain.
I've heard junkies tell me that they're medicating themselves with heroin. Have you heard that?
Excuse me?
I've heard junkies say they're self-medicating with heroin. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. Have
you heard alcoholics say it's time for me to take my medication as they have the next shot? So you got to be cautious when you say that it's a chemical imbalance.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Conservatives. Now you understand the rest of the story. Now you understand why there is so much attention being given to the death of a comedian. He was a nice guy. I told you we ran into each other on dog walks over a number of years. We goofed around a little, but we never talked politics. But let's keep this in proportion. You would have think, I said if the Pope died, there'd be less coverage, less adulation. The somber tones that you hear, unbelievable to me. But when have you last heard a comedian lambast a liberal politician and have an audience of laughter that's broadcast on NBC, CBS, ABC? Never. How about Hillary Clinton? She'd be a fair target. I heard the white rhino was on the loose, but I didn't know it was running for office. Yeah, well, okay, you get the picture. Of course, looting is spreading in St. Louis. The African-American youth are unhappy. And the way they show their unhappiness about the civil rights issues in St. Louis is by stealing sneakers, televisions, and convenience store items, candy, whatever. Obama now blames Bush for the troop withdrawal. Your friends in the Islamic killing squads killed 500 Yazidis and buried some victims alive. But, hey, pay attention to the death of a comedian and sit there with a handkerchief and talk to me about manic depression. 855-400-7282. Incidentally, in Brooklyn, a rabbi was on the way to synagogue and he was murdered by two men. Oh, in Miami, sorry. Police seek community's help in rabbi's murder. He was wearing a black outfit, white beard with a Bible. They say it's not a hate crime. And they won't identify the young man who killed him. It's not a hate crime. It was a love crime. The rabbi was killed out of love, not out of hate. That's not a story, though. I mean, is one death equal to another? Looting under the guise of civil rights? Where are those 300 or 3,000 missing girls in Africa that were stolen by the Islamic murderers? Where are the Christian girls that were stolen that our First Lady said, hashtag find the girls Where are they? They forgot that story already in Martha's Vineyard. It's not making the rounds anymore. So look, you got a thing, you got to keep things in perspective. I do. And we're talking about suicide. And you should too. And I'll tell you why I'm doing it. It's very important you listen to me and hear me out. Because with the liberal psychosis that's raging through this society, where they're telling you that assisted suicide is a perfectly natural choice if you're unhappy. Right now in the Netherlands, they're letting children as young as 11 years old kill themselves. I think I'm making it up, right? This is the land of the insane. The Netherlands have become totally disconnected from their Christian roots. So now, if an 11-year-old is unhappy, he can kill himself with the assistance of a doctor, no less. So in other words, if you hear that assisted suicide is perfectly normal, well, hey, you're not happy, hang yourself. You're not happy, shoot yourself. Don't think about your wife and children. Don't think about anybody. Think only about you and your unhappiness. Now you understand where I'm coming from or not? So last night, I walked down there. There were 100 trucks in the street. Every ghoulish TV truck in the world was near the house, his house. Walked over there with the dog from about a mile away. And I talked to a news guy who recognized me. I said, I have no comment, but we chatted. He was a very nice guy. I said, none of this is on the record. He was a very respectful guy, and we both were men. And I think from a different time in America, he was maybe 40. I'm a little older. And I said, well, how do you feel about this act of hanging yourself in your garage for your wife to find you? He said, it's terrible. Not very manly. He said, if a man does a thing like this, he should do it away somewhere in the woods so that a wife doesn't find him or whatever. I said, that's how I think. I mean, what is this going to do to the children? What is this? So, I mean, unless you see the perspective of where I'm coming from, you can easily castigate me. Go ahead and do it. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I'm trying to tell you there's a mass hysteria in America on so many topics, including the issue of depression and suicide. I have a different viewpoint. So I'm asking you if anyone in your family committed suicide, or what effects did it have on you and others? Maybe people want to listen to you and understand that it has an effect onto three generations. You hear me? Do you hear me or not? KSFO, San Francisco. Mike, the Robin Williams suicide. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Really enjoy your show. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, unfortunately, Mr. Williams joined an exclusive club yesterday. I guess you'd call it an infamous exclusive club. We've got Monroe, Belushi, Farley. You can go on and on. But I just want to say briefly, if you can't like yourself or love yourself, I don't know that you're going to make it in this world. And there was a poem that I read maybe 10 years ago about it. I think the guy committed suicide. He wrote this poem, The Man in the Glass.
When you get... No, wait, before you go on, I have long observed that entertainers in general are all seeking love. That's a pretty well-established fact, is it not?
Yep.
Okay. So following that theory, the greater the need for love, the greater the hole in your being, the wilder and better your performance will be. Depending upon your talent. You follow that theorem?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so the greater the entertainer, the greater the hole in his soul. I mean, that's an important fact to remember.
So I know, and Mike, I know we can think of a couple others that are on the brink of joining the same club. Feeling, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning or the following day, and one of these guys is going to join the club. And I think we know who they are. We see them.
Who? Who are they? I don't know who they are.
Well,
you know, kind of a pox upon them. I don't know the next man's soul. But, Mike, are you in the entertainment field yourself?
I'm not. I'm in banking.
No. I'm sure you see plenty of drug use and plenty of depression in banking today, too.
Thanks
for the call. But you see, I have a diverse audience. Very, very interesting. So now before we move on, we're not going to move on. You have to understand that there's a reason for super success. And it often has to do with who's running things. Now, we all know that there's a pyramid in Hollywood. The top of that pyramid are some of the most vile people on the planet. Some of the most vile individuals in the history of the world are in Hollywood, putting out some of the most disgusting images. With the movement of an eye, they have more power over people than a mafia don. He shall live, he shall die. His act shall make it in Hollywood. His act shall be a movie. His act shall go in a toilet. I can give you their names, but I don't think you need them. I will not name names, but one of them pays straight men $5,000 to sleep with him to get his extra pleasure out of that particular experience. So he determines who makes it and who doesn't make it. He determines whose plays get played and whose movies get made and things like that. And so I say to you, these things don't happen by themselves, who becomes famous. Yeah, you have to have talent in either case. Great talent to get ahead, even as a liberal. There's no question about that. But don't confuse yourself for a minute. There's an awful lot of great talent that's not particularly liberal in orientation. Those movies rarely, if ever, get made. Those comedians rarely are ever heard. Those musicians are rarely hired to play in symphonies anymore. I'll go down the list for you, but if you're an artist who's not a lib, you know what I'm talking about. And what does that have to do with this? I don't know. I'm just talking. It's a talk show. So before we move out of the segment on the Savage Nation today, I want to reiterate, in case you get lost in what I'm saying, that I didn't know the man particularly well at all. I met him over the years walking my dog. We got to know each other through Lenny and Teddy. He would tell me jokes, and I'd crack him up. When no one was around, I mean, I think I outdid him. My jokes were pretty good. I would do shtick for him that had him bent over. I remember some of them now. What was some of them? I can't remember them. I don't want to blow it by remembering. Some of them were good in the heyday. But it's before he went back on television. He became a different person. I think that's what did him in, by the way. The TV series was dreck. It wasn't picked up by CBS. And, I mean, that was one of it. The doom that his career was over, I think, did it. You have to learn to live with failure. You got to learn to live with unnotoriety. You got to learn to live, in other words, without people kissing your behind and thinking you're God. In other words, I think it was the Buddhists who say that even a great man must take his own garbage out. Did you ever hear that one? I think the Zen masters say that even a Zen master should take his own garbage out. You know what that means, don't you? Well, my mother would put it another way, but she's long gone, and it's a old world vulgarity that I can't repeat, especially in English. You know, like he thinks his blank doesn't stink. Do you kind of get that picture? At the end of the day, you understand that the picture on that, what I'm saying to you, you know, you can walk with kings but never lose the common touch. Have you heard of that put that way? You can walk with kings but never lose the common touch. And I'm not making light of suicide. I mean, there was a phase of my life. I don't want to go into it. It's not about me. It went on for months. Things were bad. Because I was not a liberal, I was ejected from and not hired by the academy. They only hired far inferior individuals. I had two young children. I'd worked 10 years to get my degree, and they wouldn't hire me with the union card. I went into a suicidal depression because liberals had decided that some people's lives needed to be put on hold while others' lives were advanced. And take a look at our great society today, because who they've advanced in the universities. Like today, would you have expected to see a whole department called La Raza Studies suggesting that there's an entire study called Raza, Race Studies? Can you imagine there'd be an entire department? Well, that's what happened as a result of taking men like me and saying you should put your career on hold. Now you have Raza studies and things of that important nature. Greater than that of, let us say, chemistry, physics, biology, medicine, neurosciences. Far more important than all of them are Raza studies. Imagine getting a degree in Raza studies. This is what happens in the academy when you twist things. But I guess I'm getting off the track. So the minute I come back, I have a very special piece for you, which is Robin Williams on Rush Limbaugh. And I'd like to know what you think about his comedy when I play it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Talking about Robin Williams' death, his dog, my dog, the few interchanges, how he kept telling me for over a year that Mort Saul really wanted to meet me, and I said, I love Mort Saul. I didn't even know he was out here, and he kept nudging for a year. I said, all right, have Mort call me. One day Mort called me, and I took Mort to dinner. He was a really great guy, and many of us in talk radio don't even know that Mort Saul was in many ways, the grandfather of talk radio. When he first went on stage in the 50s, I was a kid, but I said, who is this guy who stands on the stage in a sweater with a newspaper? And I think Mort Saul is more libertarian than conservative. I don't really know. I would suspect so. And even though Robin Williams was a super lib, I think that they loved each other. He certainly loved Mort Saul, and Mort must have loved him. So, you know, I think that a personality transcends politics at the end of the day. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm also trying to get across the point that suicide shouldn't be taken so lightly as just a choice. That it's just choice. It's very important. And that you understand that it's an act of violence against others. And think of others. Don't just say, I can't take it anymore. Call a suicide hotline. Go see a psychiatrist. But remember that if you kill yourself, what effect it's going to have. Think of your wife or your children. And maybe you hate them. Maybe that's why you want to do this to them. I don't really know. Just be careful. Think of others, not yourself. Joel on WABC, what do you have to say about the suicide business?
Right. One about the suicide, and if I have the opportunity, about what's happening on the mountaintop. Now, regarding the suicide, I believe his fans, you know, Robin Williams fans, should go out on the streets and celebrate, because that's how he wanted it to be. And as far as his loving dogs, as you mentioned, if he really loved his own dog, he wouldn't have committed suicide.
Well, let's not go there. I'm sure the dog is going to be well cared for by his family. Good God, there's a lovely wife and children. They're not leaving Lenny alone. They're not putting him out to let him run in the street.
Right. Mike, his loved ones, you know, that's one of the practically the most selfish thing to do on the part of a human being. Committing suicide when you have people you have to support, not financially necessarily. I mean, more.
Yeah, but if a person's depressed, they can't support anybody. And the fact of the matter is both Jewish, Christian, and Islamic, and Hinduism, it's unacceptable in all of the religions. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islamic, Christian, Jewish, all religious views on suicide are the same. It's condemned. There's not a religion that accepts it except the false religion of humanism.
Now, you mentioned about...
I'm going to move on. I feel like I'm being hectored. He reminded me of an Armenian history teacher I was. I liked him, but I don't know why. It was like I didn't have a match with that voice. Come on, I'm not trying to be mean. Like, Teddy, stop it. Think of Lenny the next time you bark while I'm on the air. Thomas on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, first of all, I'll offer prayers for Robin Williams. He did a lot of humanitarian things, but I want to refer back to your mantra. Liberalism is a mental disorder. It should be the 11th commandment, Michael. If you look at the death camp that has started in Hollywood from Marilyn Monroe all the way to Robin Williams, when is Hollywood going to figure it out that drugs and godlessness leads to despair, Michael? When are they going to figure it out? Is it ever going to happen?
Well, before we go on that track, you're not saying that devout Christians or Jews or Muslims don't commit suicide, are you?
Much, much, highly unlikely, Michael.
Yes, a lower rate of suicide amongst the religious. That is true. In fact, devout Christians who I've spoken with know that it's a severe prohibition. They would never go there.
Sin for Catholics.
It is a sin. It is a sin for Catholics. Do priests still tell people that or not?
They do.
Do the churches still say that suicide is forbidden?
Very quietly while they're telling you to protect the environment first.
Uh-huh. Okay, so they worship Gaia instead of Jesus. I get it. All right, look, there's a lot to be said here, and if you have something to sound off with on what effects someone's suicide had on you. And I have a lot more to say about this specific issue. A very nice man. As I went to sleep last night, I thought, be sure to tell everybody that he was a nice man, because he was.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, the black dog is everywhere. That's what old Churchill used to call his depressions. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Churchill said when the black dog came, he had his way around it. I guess he wrote, he painted, whatever. I mean, depression is part of the human experience. This is the thing I'm trying to get across to you. Depression is part of the human experience. Sadness, happiness, depression, elation. What is this society that we think we're supposed to be children our whole life? Joyful little children running around with a skip rope until we're 75 or 80 years old? Have we not learned to cope with our depressions and our sadnesses? By the way, you want to talk about the failure of the rehab industry? Let's talk about Robin Williams. Not allowed to say that either. Oh, rehab this, rehab that. That's the magic cure, just $29,000 a week. Come on down and sit there and take the spa treatment and get your nails done and sit and chit-chat with others like yourself, and you're going to come home all well and good. The rehab industry is a racket. It's a racket like the drug industry itself. So you say, well, what's your solution, wise guy? I don't know. What's your solution, wise guy? I'm not telling you what to do. I have my own life to deal with. I have my own baggage to carry around. And I have my own depressions to deal with. I have found that work is my only salvation. Personally, Rodin was one of my inspirations, the sculptor, and he wrote, work, work, work is the only salvation. I know that's anathema in the society to teach you that leisure is the salvation, but I can't help you. And I want to go backwards again before you misinterpret me, as it's going to be done by all the liberal liars out there. The little I knew of him and the dogs and the joking around, and he was a nice guy, sweet soul. But like all of us, he had a mean streak in him, as you could hear in his humor against Sarah Palin or Rush Limbaugh. So what? We all have a mean streak. How else do you survive in Hollywood? By being nice? I mean, the guy at the top of the pyramid is a nice guy. So that's nothing. There's nothing to say about that. But the thing I'm trying to get across is something else. Has anyone in your immediate family committed suicide, and what effects did that have on you or on others? Because as far as I'm concerned, it is the most selfish thing you can do to your family, is have them find you with your brains blown out or hanging from a strap in a garage. Think about the imagery in your children's heads before you put the strap over the beam. Don't think about you and how you can't take it anymore. So, you know, we all have our ways of coping. Some do it through community. Some do it through religion. Some do it through faith in God. Some do it through running. Some do it through vitamins. I mean, there is something to be said for all of that, by the way. I'm not saying don't take your antidepressants. Do it. That works for you. Do it. I've never taken them, and I don't intend to ever take them. And I've coped with these feelings all my life. And I want to tell you something else, since it's very personal to me. Not that the angel was, visited me. I mean, I'll go into that another time. The thing is this. Years ago, and I have to say it again, I learned how to put up the guardrails in my own soul to keep me from falling into the canyon of despair. And that's what you have to do. We all come to the edge of a canyon at some point in our adult existence. And we must learn how to establish our own guardrails. If they're not put up for us, then put them up yourself. Put up your own guardrails, whatever that may be. Learn how to paint. Learn how to write. Learn how to entertain. Learn how to give to a crippled child. Learn how to take poor animals who are suffering and help them. I don't know what you have to do. Those are guardrails to prevent you from further despair and falling off into that canyon. 855-407-282, but you're not going to be able to get through today because everyone's talking about the same thing. Maybe it's a relief to talk about that instead of the world. Maybe in a world filled with such murderous psychotics as we see amongst the Islamo-terrorists and the Islamo-fascist movement per se, and this dreamer for a president, maybe it's an escape for all of us to escape into the suicide of Robin Williams. Maybe the world is such a mess right now that it's a safe place to go. And so we can make it very personal if you wish. WABC, Steve, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, I guess I'm coping with it. My father, he took his life 20 years ago. But it was a different situation, I think, for him. And I'm kind of proud of him in a way. He ended up with a stroke, and he ended up with what they call aphasia. And I find it very, very hard to understand certain things. Like, I kind of lost faith in God. I'm trying to get back into it, and I never raised my kids.
But wait, I'm not following. Your father committed suicide, is what you're saying, Steve?
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to dwell on it because you brought it up. Who found his body?
I did.
And it had no effect on you?
No, you know what? It doesn't really bother me. I feel strong. I think he did it because he knew I think I can handle it.
Well, you're a strong guy. I mean, didn't affect you negatively. So, you know, that's a good thing.
I look at it like this. You know what? Like I said, I think his situation was different. He had what they call aphasia. And, you know, I would work on the car and I'd say, you know, Dad, come on, let me, give me a hand. And I'd say, Dad, can you hand me that wrench? And he, years ago, he would be able to, no problem. He was guy fixing everything. But he couldn't tell the difference between a wrench and, say, if there was a brick laying there. And he was very frustrated. And, you know. But
yes, no, I do understand that. I'm going to, and I thank you, Steve, for calling the Savage Nation. That opens up one line at 855-407-282. We're talking about suicide right now, especially that of Robin Williams, with some personal notes of my own, in that his dog Lenny and my dog Teddy knew each other quite well, and on a regular basis, Teddy would mark Lenny's hedges, and Lenny would mark Teddy's hedges. But aside from that, I didn't know the man. He was a nice guy. Everyone liked him. He was nice to the neighbors, and they all liked him. But the thing is that there's more to the story than that. I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about, including the failure of the rehab community. You're not going to hear that, by the way. I guarantee you they'll spend millions of dollars on publicity around the clock now to tell you that it has nothing to do with them. Oh, no, but it has a lot to do with the fact that rehab is a crop of garbage. It's a business. Oh, yeah, I'm in rehab. I need to go to rehab. Yeah, right. I think you need to go to somewhere else other than rehab. It's a, you know, whatever, to each his own. It's not from my generation, rehab. It's an industry today. You have to learn to cope with things another way. You know, experts are going to tell you. Go look into what the experts do behind the curtain. 855-407-282. I wanted to say something else that was pregnant on my mind, and I can't remember it. Oh, we have a piece for you of Robin Williams on, was it Johnny Carson, putting down Rush Limbaugh, that you have to hear for a reason. Because Robin was a nice person, the little I knew of him, but a member in good standings of the liberal establishment. He was one of the Rat Pack. So listen to what he said about Rush Limbaugh on the Johnny Carson show.
You must love the Rush Limbaugh Viagra story.
First of all, it seems like a little redundant for him to take Viagra, you know? The fact that he takes it, he gets taller. You know, it's a wonderful... I mean, what do you need, Ryan? It's a hard thing when... He's a big already. What do you need?
Oh!
This was Jay Leno, sorry.
Thank you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Our lines are open. But he's got kind of a tradition of doing that when he used to have his maid be the mule. Mr. Limbaugh, I come back with your medication. You know? Where was he? Where was he staying in the Caribbean? Club Medicated?
The Dominican Republic.
The Dominican Republic. Well, yeah, so he's down there on the beach picking up things without his hands.
Right, exactly.
What it was. What are you doing? But Rush is playing, he's playing horseshoes again with the hookers.
But he said he was on an all-boys vacation, which makes it worse.
That's actually code.
Yeah, it doesn't.
What do you need to take Viagra on an all-boys vacation?
I can't quit you, Rush. What do you know now? Hey, Jake Twist, Rush, I know you now. Don't you make me do this on Humpback Beach. Don't you make me say this.
So, all boys vacation, and he's coming back with Viagra.
That's what it said.
I like to go fishing, the old fly fishing with Rush. What are you doing? Just fishing. Yep, right there. What are you doing? That's an old code word. What are you doing? Yep, fishing.
I'm just watching.
Did you bring your rod? Yes, indeed.
Our editor is back there. Mayday, mayday.
Any synonym for rod? How about, no, not that one. Say neck. Did you bring your neck?
Let me move to a nicer story.
All right, so what I'm getting at is there's a multiplicity of faces, the man with a thousand faces, and you only see one of them. The deification of any individual disturbs me. And when have you last heard anyone do a roast of a liberal? And get on the Jay Leno show. Answer, never. When did you last see a movie where liberals are lambasted? Never. When has there been a movie putting down Obama or Hillary Clinton or such? Never. Why? Because the man at the top of the pyramid in Hollywood decides what gets made and what doesn't get made, who becomes famous and who doesn't become famous. And so, therefore, we need to see the entirety of the story. And there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye. Craig on WABC, go ahead, please. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Okay. Sometimes the best of life is over when you get to be 63. He's out. Robin Williams is doing Night at the Museum 3. And imagine him having to go back to Miss Doubtfire 2. He's lost his best friends, John Belushi, John Ritter, and especially Christopher Reeve. You know, what is he up
to? Well, that's what the media is saying. How long ago did Christopher Reeve die?
A day.
I'm sorry, when did Christopher Reeve die?
Oh, 13 years ago.
So how can you make that the reason for suicide? That's a real stretch.
Well, listen, I broke my neck, and I went through a traumatic thing, and I still cry because Christopher Reeve was my only hope. He could have gotten into one of those skeleton suits if he had lived to this day.
No, but what you said at the beginning is very important, and we shouldn't go over it, which is that he was depressed, in my opinion, and what I have heard, by the fact that he was doing remakes of his earlier successes, and he felt that his career was over. And it was very depressing for him to come to that conclusion, Craig. He could not live with that.
And the Sarah Michelle Gellar, We're Stupid, whatever that CBS show was over, crazy?
Yes, and CBS didn't pick that up, yes. By the way, it came out today that not only did he hang himself with a belt, he tried to slash his wrist, according to what we heard from the coroner today. They found a penknife with blood and whatever, and, you know, it's all over the media now. And that's the story. And what is it saying about the belt? Not in the chair, it was suspended, blah, blah, blah. They were pretty specific during the press conference today out here in Marin County. It says the actor had apparently tried to kill himself by cutting his left wrist. Quote, the inside of Mr. Williams' left wrist had several acute superficial transverse cuts. A pocket knife with a closed blade was located in close proximity to Mr. Williams. The pocket knife was examined and a dry red material was located in the blade of the knife, which appeared consistent with dried blood. By the way, Williams' shocking death, it says, came little more than a month after the actor checked himself back into rehab in a bid to stay sober. So, the little I knew of him, he was a sweetheart. I never had a bad word one way or the other with the guy. We talked about dogs. And he went out of his way, by the way, to be friendly to every person he met in the street. And you have to say, in the totality of things, he's a nice person in that regard. The fact that he committed suicide is yet another story that is worth discussing. And that's what I'm asking you. What effects has suicide had on you? I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. All right, we're talking about the suicide of Robin Williams. This just came out in England. I mean, the American press is embarrassing in its sycophantic mentality, its adolescent mentality, the deification without any background. So we have to go to England to get some, even if it's tabloid news. Here's their headline. Mail Online. Robin Williams hanged himself as his wife slept in another room. Assistant found him dead when he failed to appear next morning. The legendary actor, 63, was found dead by an assistant at his home in Tiburon at 11:55 a.m. on Monday. By the way, Blood Moon is not in here. We'll talk about that another time. They say his wife, Susan Schneider, a lovely person, by the way, last saw him at 10:30 p.m. Sunday when she went to bed and left Monday morning thinking he was still asleep. Now, think about that one. A neighbor who was one of the last people to see the Oscar winner alive has exclusively told Mail Online that Williams was a shell this week. And I'd like to know who that neighbor was, because most of the neighbors are refusing to say anything. Williams talked about needing taking jobs for the money and reportedly told a friend he had serious money troubles. He had battled depression, addiction to drugs and alcohol for years, been a stint in rehab. Okay, we know all of that. But, you know, without getting too graphic here, this, as I say to you, is an act of aggression. I keep saying that to you. And we're talking about the effects of suicide. And I'd like to know who the neighbor was. A longtime neighbor in the secluded community where Williams lived has exclusively told Mail Online that he appeared subdued and preoccupied, especially compared to the upbeat family man who moved to the neighborhood years ago. She said, the last time I saw Robin was over the weekend. He would catch up on the street just casual. He was drawn and thin. He did not look like the Robin who first moved into this community many years ago. Well, it was true. When I was walking the dog a few weeks ago and I ran into him, I gasped. And I said, man, I'd like to know what diet you're on. I did. I said, I'd like to know what diet you're on. And he said, I now remember. And he said, just bicycling. I said, well, what's the name of your bicycle manufacturer? But that was that. I mean, I guess, you know, look, we're going to talk about Ernest Hemingway's suicide in a few minutes because it was the medical establishment that killed Ernest Hemingway. And if you think that the rehab establishment had nothing to do with this suicide, you may be mistaken. There are dangers in rehab. There are risks in rehab, but then no one will tell you that. It's, oh, it's like going to the Holy Grail. You know, there are dangers and side effects in drugs, right? Well, there are dangers and side effects in rehab, but no one will tell you that. It's the most kosher thing you can do. It's the miracle cure, is it? How about this failure and the loss of this beautiful human being? Let's talk about rehab and the rehab racket. Let's open up some lines in addition to talking about the effects of suicide on you. How about those of you who've been into rehab who can tell the whole story?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
On Hot Talk about 560 rehab side effects. We're talking about the failure of the medical community. And if you want to just listen to the Hallmark card version of the suicide of Robin Williams, go ahead and do so. Make yourself happy. But there's much more to the story. No one knew him. Maybe his wife knew him. And maybe a few close friends knew him. Who really knows people? I mean, that was the public persona. And that's the end of the story. What do you know about a man? You really know his inner thoughts. Or what he's going through. But the thing is, I will stick to my original allegation, which is that suicide is one of the most aggressive things you can do to your family. That's my opinion. What do you think about that? What do you think about my statement? I realize it's controversial in a society that thinks that aborting babies is as normal as delivering a baby. And in a society which teaches you that you have the choice to kill a baby and the choice to kill yourself. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. And I think that it's my obligation to tell you what I think. It's only one man's opinion. You don't have to agree with me. But many people listening to this show have thought about these things. It enters people's minds. Many people may have even tried it. And maybe they've come to their senses and said, holy God, I'm glad I didn't do that. I can't imagine what it would have been done to my wife and children for the rest of their lives to have found me like that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Well, not. And what about rehab? What is that, the golden door? Mike on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation on Robin Williams' suicide.
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have been to rehab twice. And it's a gateway, but I think it's a, you know, rehab is not a solve-all thing. You know, you got to, I have found my personal experience, I've been sober for 17 years. I've fallen off a wagon, went back to rehab, but I learned nothing new. You know, and I had been able to get my demons out of my head and be able to continue with my life.
What is a demon? What is this thing, demons? What is a demon?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, but when people say demons, what is a demon?
It's always that in the back of my mind. It's, you know, not like it used to be, but it was always there. Like, let's go drink, let's go get drunk, let's drink, you know. And to me, that's a demon, you know, but I've been able to...
I don't think it's a demon. I think it's a choice.
And...
You know, I got to tell you something. I know people who've kicked alcohol without rehab. They made up their mind they didn't want to drink anymore. They decided that it wasn't, they didn't say they had an illness. They didn't say they had a chemical imbalance. They didn't say that they needed help. They just said, I had enough of alcohol, I'm not drinking anymore. I've known people who could do it on their own. Would you believe that?
Oh, I do. I believe that. I met people like that.
Right, and they told me that really it's a nonsense to say it's a mental this and a chemical imbalance. They say it's a choice. Either you want to be a drunk or you don't.
Yeah, I guess it's like a choice, like smoking cigarettes. It's a choice. You can.
All right, so at least we're agreeing on something. That's all. Next case. Let's move on. That's all. Suicide's part of the human condition, and you're supposed to reject it. Yes. I guess I have to, again, do something that bores the cool crowd, the hipsters with fake beards. Suicides are frowned upon by the Jewish religion. And do you know that suicides are buried in a separate part of a Jewish cemetery? Christians, according to the theology of the Roman Catholic Church, suicide is a sin which violates the commandment, thou shalt not kill. In Islam, as with other Abrahamic traditions, suicide is one of the greatest sins and is detrimental to a Muslim's spiritual journey. So jihadis are violating Islam by committing suicide, by the way. Tell that to the jihadis out there. In Hinduism, suicide is spiritually unacceptable. It's considered a violation of the code of nonviolence and therefore equally sinful as murdering another. What about Buddhism? They don't believe in it either. It's seen as a negative act. If someone commits suicide in Buddhism in anger, he may be reborn in a sorrowful realm due to negative final thoughts. We're not condemning the individual. We're not casting negative aspersions on a suicide. I'm telling you that there's not a religion on earth that accepts suicide as the path. And the main point I'm trying to make is think about what effect it has on your wife, your children, if you're a man, or the other way around. Think about the effects on your children, how they will think of you forever, hanging on a rafter with a belt, or your brains all over the floor. Is that an image you want them to carry around? Are they ever going to have a normal life? WABC Darren, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you, Mike, for taking my call. My opinion is I agree with you 100%. To do what you did, I have four children, to do what you did was unfounded, unbelievable. But my point is, being a liberal, I think it actually hurt him because they want everybody in the country to have everything they could possibly have for free, give it away. But when all his liberal friends, all these movie stars and entertainers, nobody was there for him. It seems like maybe he was on a desert island alone. And none, they kind of like turn away. And leave him.
Well, I don't know that you can say that in all fairness. He moved away from Hollywood to be out of that scene, to be removed from the temptations of the drugs, the alcohol, and whatever. And he moved into an isolated suburban community specifically to get away from that. So I wouldn't say that his friends failed him. He moved away from that community.
But I would think during the course of his career, all the things he's done, there has to be someone there that would say, something doesn't seem right with Robbie. Let's.
Well, all right. Well, you have to ask yourself those questions, and we can start asking what Mail Online is implying, that his wife was sleeping in another room. I mean, what does that mean? What does this act towards her mean? Think about that one, Darren.
Yes.
I you want to talk about it? Am I allowed to even get into that or not?
Well, if you want to, I could read through the lines myself. I see, I know for being here in New York, you hear on the news he was in financial trouble for a couple of years now. But even that.
No, that's no reason to kill yourself. You downscale your life. That's no reason to kill yourself. I'm talking about something else. Your wife's sleeping in another bedroom. Okay, that happens in marriages. Not a big deal. But you kill yourself in that house? What message are you sending?
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%.
All right, so I'm sorry if people are offended by this, but it is an act of aggression, in my opinion, Darren.
Yes.
You're sending a real horrible message to someone when you do that.
Yes.
A man could say, I can't take it anymore, and drive 10 miles away and take care of business, okay? But go hang yourself in a garage? What is this? What is he saying here?
He was mentally unstable.
I don't know. I mean, look, I could start doing a Freudian here. I don't know anything about that. But they're publishing these stories now. So, How to Make Friends and Influence People by Michael Savage, making millions of new friends every day. How to Be the Most Unpopular Man in Your Community, Michael Savage. That's my next bestseller. I've learned to live with a lack of celebrity, a lack of fame. And unlike other talk show hosts, and maybe I should go out and do the speeches that they do to get the accolades. I don't do it. I live alone with a dog. And you say, okay, great, good for you. Maybe I miss, you know, that crowd and the love and the adulation, but I don't do it. I don't know. I don't do it. Maybe it gives you a high, and then what? Then what? Then you're down the next minute? What happens when the roar of the crowd is over and all of the glad-handing and they signing your books? What then? You still have to go home and sleep with yourself at the end of the day on that pillow. You still have to close your eyes, and whatever goes on inside that cranium of yours is yours alone. And some people just can't deal with it. It's that simple. And I think that a person who is that suicidal, that unable to cope, should commit themselves temporarily to a facility that is capable of taking care of them. And I don't know that they exist, frankly. It's a little different than rehab, by the way. There must be places that can put you on, like a high-class suicide watch or something. I don't know. Does that exist? I don't know what that's called. There's no jokes to be made about it, so. WBAP, Dallas, Texas. Jeremy, BAP on rehab. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm a mental health professional in the Fort Worth area, and this is a clientele that I deal with all of the time. And so one of the things I want to tell you is that I appreciate the way that you're handling this material, making it more sort of question-based as far as what we can do to help. But I can tell you that at the moment when these people take their life, they're doing exactly what it is we're all telling them that they should be doing. They actually are thinking that they're doing them a favor.
Wait. I'm missing the point. I mean, when a person commits this violence against themselves and their family, they think they're doing the right thing?
That's exactly right. And I've sat with these people right at the moment when they've either made the decision to do it or when I've actually had them taking pills when I've been on the phone.
Wait. What's the mental process? Tell it to me.
Well, the mental process is they get to a place. See, suicidal people who are deeply and truly suicidal and have the pathology to support it, they don't commit suicide because they want to die. They commit suicide because they don't know how to live.
And what? Wow. Hold on. I need to absorb that. I need to absorb that. That's pretty profound. I never heard that. You mean they've reached a dead end? They don't know what to do? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's exactly right. And what ends up happening is they have sort of an epiphany in their depressive state. They have an epiphany that says, oh, my gosh, I can actually solve this problem. And they don't drive.
Whoa. In other words, because they feel powerless, this act of suicide gives them power, a sense of power?
Well, it gives them a sense of power over what they think the problem is. And that's why you'll find people committing suicide in the home when the family is there, because they want them to find out right away. They want the body to be available to be gotten rid of. They're trying to make the aftermath easier for them.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. I mean, God, you deal with this in a way I could never imagine people think.
Yeah, and so when you actually sit with the, you know, it's a population that can be a little bit difficult to work with, and for some reason I just have an aptitude for it, and it's a population that's dear to my heart. And
I want to ask you something, Jeremy. You are a mental health professional. You deal with rehab. You deal with potential suicides. For an hour and 45 minutes, I've dealt with Robin Williams' suicide, and sometimes in a personal way. How would you gauge or how would you judge what I've taught my job so far?
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll be totally honest with you, is that I've listened to multiple radio show hosts over the last few days deal with this subject, and it has gotten me to the point where I've actually thrown my phone twice because I've been so frustrated at the way that they're either sensationalizing it or they're being judgmental in a way with which a person who's struggling with this problem could not turn in their direction. See, that's the
problem. All right, so you're saying I'm in the judgmental category.
I'm saying you're not. Because what I'm saying is the way that you've been handled, that's the only reason why I called. The way that you're handling this topic is not with any resolute determinedness. In other words, you're asking the right questions, you're pontificating the right solutions, and you're advocating for treating them as a person first and as a pathological problem second. Which I absolutely, as a professional, I adore it. And so part of the problem is...
Hey, Jeremy, give out your phone number. Maybe I'll give you a professional visit.
Hey, let's do it.
No, I mean, seriously. I mean, you know what you're doing, and it's a tough job. I mean, who can deal with this, with people who are suicidal? I was told by a treatment specialist that alcoholism is the toughest of all of the drugs to kick.
Yeah, I would say that's correct.
I had an old friend who, well, I don't want to go into it again, but he told me that alcohol was harder to kick than heroin.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and that's saying a lot, because the opioids are incredibly difficult.
Jeremy, you are a very, very important caller to the show today, and all I can say is thank you so much for listening on BAP in Dallas. I mean, it's the magic of radio today. It's sort of a national tragedy in a way, even though, forget politics for a minute. I told you, the dogs brought us together. Let's leave it at that. He was on the left, way, way left, and I'm on the other side. Never talked politics once. And we found the common ground in our humanity. It's as simple as that. And I did notice how gaunt he looked over the last few months, shockingly so. And I say, therefore, look into the side effects of rehab. When I come back, I want to talk about how the medical establishment helped kill Ernest Hemingway right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Now, there was a great artist, Jim Morrison. He broke through to the other side. He killed himself. How'd that work out? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. 54 minutes after the hour, we're talking about what effects a family member's suicide had on you. We're talking about the aggression of this type of situation. Look at the top of the Drudge Report. If you haven't heard it yet, I mean, you all heard it by now. Robin Williams hung himself, found with belt on neck, tried to slash wrists, had serious money troubles, worried about faltering career. And we've forgotten all about the murder on the planet because of the death of one comedian. The murder that has been unleashed because of the power vacuum created by Barack Hussein Obama, who knows very well how to crush his political opponents domestically and knows zilch about the world because he's always been a ward politician and a community organizer. So he's a super, super duper destroyer of political enemies domestic and a real pussycat when it comes to the real murderers around the world. Well, we don't want to know about that. We want to talk about Robin Williams, that's all. It's a safe place to go right now to revel in this sadness. I guess that's what people are doing. And we're talking about rehab, the risks of rehab. I didn't even get to what my opinion is on Hemingway, what happened to him after he went to the Mayo Clinic. I'll tell you about that and the shock therapy and what happened. He tried to walk into the propellers of an airplane after he came out of the Mayo Clinic because he couldn't think anymore, couldn't write anymore, didn't want to live. Eventually shot his brains out. WMAL, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. Just want to get right to the point. Late last April 2013, my then 28-year-old sister took her life, the result of which was a acute drug overdose. Intentional. She left a suicide note. And she also left behind an 8-year-old child who... We still can't explain exactly what happened.
How do you feel? Was her act an act of strength or of what?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Live from Ground Zero on the Savage Nation. What effects did the relative suicide have on you? Have you been in rehab? Do you agree with me that suicide is an aggressive act towards your family? These are the questions we've been talking about. And I think they're important questions. And I think that you may have some answers that the professionals themselves may want to hear. What do you think about these things? And I'm especially interested. We're going to keep one open line for listeners in the Tiburon, San Francisco area who knew Robin, who have maybe want something to say, like Savage, you're a big, or Savage, I love you, or whatever. If you care to comment, 855-107-282 is the phone number. I mean, I have very strong opinions, which is why I'm on the radio and why I've stayed on the radio. I'm not milquetoast, and I'm not a middle-of-the-roader. I mean, by the way, you think I'm making it up? This is how I think. In very much way, I'm like my Aunt Beulah, who would go into the butcher shop and say, I'll take that steak, make it into a... Remember I told you that story in one of my books? She'd go into the butcher shop in the summer. It was 105 degrees in Ellenville, New York, and she'd wear a fur coat. I thought she was crazy, but she knew Sam the Butcher was a crook. So she'd pick out a steak, and she'd say to him, okay, I'll take that. Go grind it up for me. He says, I'll take it in the back. I have a nice grind. I'll be right out. She's all right. I'll go with you. Because I was the butcher boy. I knew that he didn't give her the steak. He had ground up chuck up there waiting for the next customer to fool. So she'd march into the freezer with the fur coat, and she'd stand over him with her arms folded while he ground up the steak, and he would chomp on the cigar angrily because he couldn't cheat her out of a quarter. So in many ways, I picked up her realism of life. I mean, it was inherent in me probably. My father was the same way. They were Russians. They came from a different world. They were very tough mentally, and they didn't go for the weakness side of human nature. They didn't have any time for it. They had no time for weakness. They dismissed it. They didn't think that it was something to cultivate or to, oh, this, I don't feel good, and that. My mother used to say to me, if I would complain about anything, she said, what do you think, I don't have aches and pains? Just go to school. Don't tell me about them. In other words, she embarrassed me into not talking about my pain. Now, we live in a different society. Now it's, if you don't talk about your pain, you're not a whole person. Now if you don't wear your loneliness and your fears on your sleeve, you're not a complete human being. If you don't cry on everyone's shoulder, you're not a nice guy. So that's the world. It's the world that we live in. And it's kind of a paradox for me to live in the world I live in and live in the world I live in inside my head, I got to tell you. And I've learned to live alone. I've learned to walk alone, and I've learned to think alone. It's not easy. Now, poor Robin couldn't deal with the fear, he said. In fact, in one of the interviews, they asked him why he took up drinking. He said, the fear. The fear, the fear. A lot of comedians are fearful. A lot of performers are fearful people. And you know the old saying when a comedian would say, oh, I slayed them, I killed them. Oh, I slaughtered that audience. What do you think that is? Right? Oh, I killed them tonight. What is that? He killed the audience tonight? I slaughtered them tonight. It was great. I murdered them tonight. What does that mean? He allayed his fears of the world by making the audience laugh. Now, I'm a guy who grew up having to be a comedian in school because of the situation that I grew up in. And here I am in radio. I include humor where I can and when I'm in the mood. It's 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I don't complain about it. I love it. Slow down. Oh, you should have slowed down. When should I have slowed down? 40 years ago? I've sped up as I've gotten older. I don't believe you slow down when you get older. I believe you speed up when you get older. You go faster, not slower. You live longer. Anyway, those are just some of the things that is going through my mind. It's not like suicide's never entered my mind. It has. And I started to tell you that in the journals that I'm publishing within the year, I found an entire pack wrapped up in a folder with a ribbon around it called Suicidal Ideations, because I remember the phase. And what I did was I wrote my way and painted my way out of it, wrapped it up in one neat little package, put a bow around it, and put it away in a folder. And I found it recently. I don't even want to open it up, but I'm going to publish it one day. I'm afraid to look at it. But I wrote it out, and I painted it out. Little paintings, you know, probably garbage, terrible poetry, but what's the difference? It worked. As someone once said to me when I was trying to paint, I think she said, she was a fine artist, and she said, I said, what do you do if you wake up one day and find out you can only do, what are those cheap paintings they sell at the waterfront? Silk? Silk paintings where they paint on silk? You know, really schlocky stuff. Like if you thought you'd be a fine artist and then you wind up you're only doing silk paintings for the wharf. She said, then do silk paintings for the wharf. And that's what I would say to a guy like Robin Williams. So what if your career was faltering? So what if you had to redo Mrs. Doubtfire? And you had to redo this and redo this? So what? You're still alive. Revel in the fact that you're still walking, you're still talking, and you still have a career. But he didn't ask me any of that. He talked to people who were, let us say, those who would idolize him. He didn't want to get close to anyone that I think he was a little bit intimidated by, which is why he always called me boss. Hey, boss, how are you? Hey, boss, how you doing today? Hey, boss, how are you? Robin, you look very, very thin. I'd like to know what diet you're on, I said to him not 3 weeks ago. And he said, boss, I'm on a bicycle. That's all. I said, okay, whatever. I ride my bike. I don't look as good as you. That was it, just back and forth. The dogs, it was through dogs. He was a sweetheart of a person, was nice to everyone in the street. Not a child or a person would have a bad word to say about him. And you know what? That's quite a compliment to a human being's life. But that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about a little deeper than that. We're peeling away some of the layers of the onion. And we're going into some of the, you know, the issues about suicide in general. And has anyone in your immediate family committed suicide? What effects did it have on you and others? Etc. Those are some of the topics. I think they're valid. KSFO, Roger, thank you for calling from San Francisco. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mike, I had a friend that committed suicide years ago, and it was the exact opposite. It was not an aggressive act towards family or friends. And in some ways, I think his suicide was planned because of some business problems. And he had clauses in his insurance policy, suicide clauses, that would cover his family and his...
They write policies today that permit them to pay for suicide?
This is probably in the early 80s. He was a board member of a evangelical Protestant church. He had a business. I don't really know all the problems.
I thought that all life policies excluded suicide. I thought that was because so many people would sign up to kill themselves to leave money to their family. I don't understand that, Roger.
I don't know how he did it. I've known this gentleman for many years. He was a lot like what you talked about, Robin. When you were in the room with this gentleman, he made you feel like you were the only one there. And he did have some close friends that he shared his intimate feelings with the promise they wouldn't tell anybody. And they all went and turned on him and backbit him. And I think that was the straw.
Wow, that's terrible. But do you agree with me that suicide is not the admirable thing that we're being told it is in this society?
Yes, but...
Well, that's all I'm trying to get across, because someone needs to put a stop to this thought that suicide is a valid decision. And this is coming from this humanist, liberal philosophy that, you know, if it feels good, do it, and if it doesn't feel, end it. If it feels good, do it, and if it doesn't feel good, end your life. If you can abort a baby, and abort yourself, that's all. You're 11 years old, you're not happy, you have gender problems, just off yourself. That's what will help you. That's the society we're living in. Gene on the Internet, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, the suicide of Robin Williams goes to his deep understanding about mortality and that life is eternal, and that through the process of reincarnation, he simply... end one life and immediately starts his next.
Oh, come on, you're pulling my leg. You know you don't believe that.
I do believe it, and I understand it completely. And
No, you know that that's not true. First of all, you want to talk about suicide? There are ways to do it where you're not leaving, let us say, an image for your family to be revolted by for the rest of eternity.
Here's the...
Gene, come on, listen. There are ways to commit this horrible act of self-murder that does not affect your family quite as dramatically as trying to cut your wrists and hanging from a rafter in a garage. So I have to reject that. No, this is not as enlightened as you're trying to make it sound. No, it's not an enlightened act to hang yourself from a rafter after trying to cut your wrists. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And the amount of attention, and I'm doing it, okay, this is on your mind, because I'm trying to broaden the discussion. If, God forbid, the Pope passed away, there wouldn't be as much coverage nor as much adulation. There wouldn't be as many news trucks at the Vatican as there were on Robin Williams Street. What does that tell you about our society? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
You must love the Rush Limbaugh Viagra story.
First of all, it seems like a little redundant for him to take Viagra, you know? The fact that he takes it, he gets taller. You know, it's a wonderful... I mean, what do you need, Ryan? It's a hard thing when he's a big already. What do you need?
Oh! Thank you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Our lines are open.
But he's got kind of a tradition of doing that when he used to have his maid be the mule.
Mr. Limbaugh, I come back with your medication. You know?
Where was he staying in the Caribbean? Club Medicated?
The Dominican Republic.
The Dominican Republic. Well, yeah, so he's down there on the beach picking up things without his hands.
Right, exactly.
What are you doing? But Rush is playing, he's playing horseshoes again with the hookers.
Look, he's a funny guy. And the interesting thing, though, is that when have you last heard a comedian reach any acclaim who would ridicule Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama? Ever? No, because the man at top of the pyramid in Hollywood is, let us say, of the disorientation variety. He's a disoriented, lifetime humanist liberal who will only permit those who are bashing those on the other side to make it. It doesn't mean Robin Williams wasn't funny or talented. He was. But there's a lot of funny, talented people who are conservative. You haven't heard them recently, have you? When have you last seen an HBO special of a conservative appearing in front of an audience, making them laugh? Never. Why? Because the Prius-driving phonies at HBO don't want you to see that. So it's always bashing conservatives. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. That's all. I just figured I'd throw it in. John and WMAL in Washington, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I have to disagree with you about a conservative comedian. This guy, Dennis Miller, teams up with O'Reilly, and... they're doing live shows for years. And
I understand. Well, thanks for the plug. I appreciate that. I have nothing negative to say about either of those people, but I don't think that they're very funny, as a matter of fact. It's tepid, middle of the road, and when have they last attacked a liberal? Never. Again, that's why they're on the road. On the road again. Internet, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to mention that I worked on a psychiatric hospital for approximately 7 years, and out of the whole 7 years, one time I found a person who committed suicide in their room, in their bathroom, and they had hung themselves, and that face will never leave my mind. I didn't sleep for 4 days after that. The whole unit of people, there were seven of us working that night, it affected us so deeply, and this person wasn't even a family member.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Okay, so you agree with me that it's an aggressive act toward the family when you commit it in a house while your wife's sleeping in the other room?
Oh, definitely. I couldn't even imagine doing
it. I mean, I don't want to get into this because it gets a little too personal, but there seems to be a little message here for that individual.
Yes. I mean, if he had children in the house, I don't know how old his...
No, there were no children in the house, so far as I know, but the newspapers are reporting that his lovely wife was in the other room. Why didn't he go in there and say, I feel like hell, call the police, I need to, you need to do something for me? Why?
Yes, I'm not sure. He could have said, I'm a harm to myself or others. And
yes, right. So something doesn't make sense in this picture in terms of the loving, caring, nice man.
Yes. It doesn't make sense to me either.
But then, okay, so you heard the earlier caller say that when a person's at that point, they're not even thinking at all. They're so hurt, they're in such pain, they can't think through these things, right?
See, where I worked in that line of work, I've seen both angles. I've seen people that are at that point, but I've also worked with people that were borderline personalities who tried suicide attempts for attention. I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, but there's a lot of that goes on also. And sometimes those people...
But Eric, doesn't this cast a black eye on the rehab community? I mean, the man just came back from some clinic in Wisconsin. What was the treatment they gave him that he knocked himself off 3 weeks later?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm not sure either, but someone ought to look into the clinic. I don't think it's a... You go on Yelp, I mean, maybe there'll be a little Yelp comment on the clinic. I don't want that treatment. Help, I'm suicidal, and come back 3 weeks later, and please. And the thinness, I mean, what are the diets they put them on? You want to talk about depression and diet one of these days? Because there have been amazing books written on how you can use vitamins to fight depression. And the greatest genius in this field, and I have to work this out because I'm sure that by now, given the size of my audience, many of you are marginal mentally or whatever. You have to look up Dr. Abraham Hoffer, H-O-F-F-E-R, M-D, Ph-D, and his work on vitamin B3, niacin, and depression. The reason you haven't heard anything about it is because A, it works, and B, it's cheap, and C, there's no prescription. That's why you haven't heard about it. The medical establishment does not want you to know that you do have the power to change your thoughts and to change your mind through vitamins and nutrition. They don't want you to know that. That's my opinion. 855
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. Obama administration released more than 600 illegal immigrants with criminal convictions. How many of them killed people? We don't know. How many people have been killed by illegal aliens that are in prison? We don't know. But we do know that a very beloved comedian died and the world no longer exists. And that's why we're talking about the comedian who hung himself. You're not going to talk about Obama on vacation while the world burns. That would be quite nice. That wouldn't be quite liberal of me if I were to talk about the president who was vacationing while the world burns. That would be sarcasm, and it wouldn't be funny if I told jokes about him and Viagra or something. That wouldn't be funny. You know, I mean, we heard Sarah Palin could see Alaska from her house. That made her an idiot, right? We haven't heard any of the gaffes that Biden has made, calling Africa. I think he called Africa a nation. Yeah, I think Biden called Africa a nation. Haven't heard any jokes about that because the man atop the pyramid in Hollywood wouldn't book that act. That act would not make it to the comedy store or the comedy factory near you. Or some jokes about Obama playing golf while the world burns. I'll bet you I could write 10 good ones. Don't think the man atop the pyramid in L.A. would book that act. I don't think that would be a live show on HBO or Showtime. No, I don't think so. But if you want to bash Sarah Palin or Rush Limbaugh or Mitt Romney and the dog on the roof, ha, 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 ha. Jay Leno is there for you. So you have to understand that you can have great talent, which he had, and be a genuinely nice person to your neighbors, which he was, and still, because of your politics, go right to the head of the class. Don't exclude that part of the story, by the way. But we're not talking about politics. We're talking about suicide. And we are talking about my allegation that suicide is an act of violence against your family. I mean, what does that say to you that it came out today, and I read it to you earlier from the Sun, I think, in London, that his lovely wife was sleeping in the other room, and he hung himself in the garage? I'm sorry, there's something to that story. There's some kind of aggression there. And I think it's a terrible thing to not talk about these things. So I want you to call the show and talk about your experience with suicide and what it did to you. Scott on KCMO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to be speaking to you. I wish I was talking to you on different terms, but my father... committed suicide back in 08. You know, it's probably one of the most cowardly, selfish acts that I can ever imagine an individual to put upon.
Well, I'm not trying to pump you on that, but why do you say that?
It's weak. You can't, I mean, you have an area of responsibility. He has four grandkids.
Right. And how do you explain granddad's suicide to children?
Oh, I didn't.
I wouldn't. God forbid. I wouldn't have done it. I would have said nothing. Just say, poor grandpa is gone to heaven. That's all I would have said.
what I told them. They have no idea what took place.
No, because it'll be a burden on them for the rest of their lives.
So, you know, in his case, what happened with him is he was actually, you could look up the word gigolo in the Webster's Dictionary, and his face would be on it. And what he did was his body started breaking down on him, and he just couldn't handle not being the stud that he was.
I'm sorry. That's almost like a funny punchline to this story, because all we've been hearing is tragedy. But this is sort of the aging Lothario can no longer perform, so he killed himself?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you know, the other sad part about it is, you know, out of his four grandchildren, the last one that was had was his the grandson that to carry on his name that he begged me for all these years, and 2 days before his third birthday, you know, he ended it. You know, so
what do you mean? He got such pleasure out of being a gigolo. You call him a gigolo, which is a little different meaning than a Lothario. He was a guy who just ran after a lot of women. Is that what you're saying? He wasn't a professional prostitute in any regard, right?
Well, you know, essentially, yeah, really, well, he kind of was. I mean, he was the epitome of that. I mean, if you I never really looked at it like that, but yeah, he.
Lothario means a lover in that regard, and a gigolo means something else. It means someone who basically sells his sexual favors to women. That's not what you're saying, are you?
No, I am. Not in a prostitute manner, but found women that would support him.
Oh, they supported him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I guess he was just a gigolo.
Was, and I'm not bragging in any stretch of the imagination, you know. But
so you're saying because he could no longer do that, he lost his source of living?
That's he didn't tell me that. I mean, you know, there was a note. There was a note there that...
Yeah, but you sound like a very well-balanced guy. I mean, you hate him for what he did, but it's not going to wreck your life.
No, it didn't. I mean, you know, if anything, he taught me to be a different person, and I told him that years ago.
Because of his wayward manner, you became a different... You became the opposite.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Well, Scott, you know something? Hey, I got to take a pause, a quick statement. You know, a guy like Scott calls me from KCMO. Man to man, we have a conversation on this show. Tell me it doesn't feel good to listen to us talk. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is so therapeutic to do this on this program, not only for me, but for my audience. I know it is. KSFO, San Francisco. Steve, go ahead, please, on the Williams suicide.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say that I've had lunch a few times with Robin, but before I get into that, you're asking about suicide, and I'd like to maybe tell my story. And I don't know why this is. I'm an entertainer. I'm in the music business, and I was involved in a pretty serious car accident where it messed my back up so terribly that I'm on morphine. I'm on hydrocodone just to even get up. You know, get to.
Oh, that's awful. Horrible.
And what I've been doing, and I haven't told my doctors, I'm totally mentally balanced and all that, but I can't go through the pain anymore to the point that literally every night I will take, and God only knows why I'm alive, I will take about 15 morphine pills and about 20 hydrocodone, which is Norco, and hope to God I don't wake up. And
you try to kill yourself every night?
I would say 3 times a week I'll take that much at night, let's say at 9 o'clock at night. And
Steve, wait, now, if you're telling me the truth, and I have no reason to doubt you, don't you think that there's another way to go other than trying to kill yourself with pills?
Well, I would want to do that because I wouldn't want to leave a mess for anybody.
Well, I have no advice other than to say I think you really ought to call your doctor or your mental health professional because, you know, I got to tell you something. This is an interesting statement you just made, Steve. About 2 months ago, I had excruciating pain that wouldn't go away in my neck. Something had happened to me. No matter what I did, it got so bad maybe 3 months ago. I was at the point of saying I can't take another minute of this. No matter what I did, whichever way I turned my body, I was, you know what I mean, excruciating. Nowhere near what you must have, so I could just imagine. And I said, if this doesn't end, there's something drastic's going to happen here. I didn't take any drugs, Steve, but what I did was I started doing certain stretching exercises. Now, you can't do that because you had a wreck. I didn't. Mine came from something else. And through certain stretching exercises and my own self-taught methods of yoga, I swear to God, I got rid of that pain. I was ready to go. You want to hear something even more? I have a wonderful doctor friend, a cancer specialist, and I was supposed to go in for a, not a CAT scan, what is the magnetic, an MRI? But I so hated the MRI, I got desperate, and I tried to find other methods of eliminating the pain other than going down the medical establishment's route. I was so afraid of another MRI that I found other methods of alleviating but not eliminating that pain. Steve, there are other ways.
I was even, you know, getting back injections every four weeks. But, you know, there's something else that they never made a big deal in the news is Ronnie Montrose, who's a guitarist, and Bob Welch, I'm sure you guys know them, they both had serious back pains, and within 3 months of each other, they both committed suicide about 2 years ago because, you know, and in my case, I could totally understand it because I wake up knowing that I'm just walking into my...
Steve, let me ask you something. How old are you? What age bracket are you in?
In my mid-40s.
No, you're too young. You're much too young. And why are you assuming that you have to give up on your rehabilitation, physical rehabilitation?
Well, I think if I told my doctor what I do, they would probably put me under a 72-hour watch or something like that. Or
yeah, but what I'm asking a different question. Is there no alternative to killing yourself?
Well, you know, for the last almost 3 years, I leave my house about once every 30 days to do a month's worth of shopping. And when I get out of bed, because, you know, I'm in...
Steve, is there anything we can do in the large KSFO and larger American audience of the Savage Nation? Is there any... There are probably people listening to this show who would like to help you, Steve.
Well...
Steve, are you alone? Is that what it is? You live alone? You have no friends?
Yeah, I guess you would say that. I live alone, and I've become a recluse, I would say, in the last...
Well, then you're sinking deeper and deeper into that state. Steve, stay on the line. Neil, would you please take Steve's phone number and see if you can get someone over there, because we can't permit this situation to get any worse, okay? 855-400-7282. Another caller from the area where Robin lived, KSFO. Lewis, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Wow, what a powerful segment you've had here today. I was very angry. You hit it on the head about the system and the rehabilitation process. There's a photo of Robin yesterday shown when he was in Minnesota, I think just 2 weeks ago, going back to rehab in Minnesota to supposedly regroup. He took a photo of a fan in Dairy Queen. Dr. Savage, he looked like a 10-year-old kid with gray hair, and his arms were the size of pencils. I am surprised.
I saw him after he came home. As I say, I knew him casually from walking my dog, Teddy, and his dog, Lenny. They used to pee on each other's hedges, and we would joke about dog stuff. And Robin called my hedge the message board for the neighbor's dogs. But I want to say this. He did look terrible after rehab. I was shocked, incidentally.
Well, what I wanted to mention is, why didn't anybody, the way he physically looked, just take him under their arms and be with him and mentor him? I mean, it was terrible. What I saw made me think nobody took, you know, nobody cared for him enough to just say, you're going with me, we're going to take it.
I have to disagree, because the times that I would be in that neighborhood when I'd come from a while away and walk my dog, he had a very loving wife who was always with him and always held on to him. I got to tell you that, Lewis. He was not alone. She loved him, and she took good care of him.
Okay, well, maybe Dr. Savage...
See, I don't understand that part of it. She was as loving a person as you could find, and not only to him, but to everyone else that she met. So I don't get that part of the, you know, her sleeping in the room while he's hanging himself in a garage. I don't get it. It's a terrible topic, but it's in the news. This is an American talk show. It's about the world at large. It's about social mores. It's about news, views, and reviews. And we're talking about the suicide of Robin Williams and the bigger issue of suicide. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, we're all trying to ride the storm of life, aren't we? Some can do a better job of it than others. You're inherently stronger, but that doesn't mean you condemn the weak amongst us. You got to try to help the weak. Obviously, Robin Williams couldn't help himself, and that's it. That's the end of the story. Cut his wrist, didn't work, hung himself. Wife was sleeping in the other room, according to the London paper. Worried about his career, they say. In other words, he was depressed. It doesn't mean you kill yourself. Think about the effects on his wife, on his wives, on his children. Think about that one. It's a gruesome act. It's horrible. Anyway, that's an important topic that needs to be talked about. KSFO in San Francisco, Pam, fire away. We have only a minute left, Pam. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I've been listening to you, Michael, for over 20 years, and what you said today compelled me to call. Because 10 years ago, my 14-year-old daughter took her own life.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. So I assume you're angry at me for saying it's an act of aggression.
No. I agree with the way you think. It was an act of aggression because everybody in her family was mad at her.
Oh. She felt so powerless. This was her only way of getting even with them. Is that what you're saying?
It was like a perfect storm of situations that happened to cause this. And my husband was the one that found her.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's awful.
I wasn't there.
And well, what, you blame yourself because you weren't there for her?
No, I blame myself because she did it with things that I brought into the house after my mother died.
Oh, boy.
I did, and it's just...
Well, what could have been done in your mind to have prevented your daughter from committing suicide?
I don't think there was anything.
All right, so then don't blame yourself. I mean, let her rest in peace, Pam.
I do.
If there's nothing that could have been done, then, give yourself a relief here. Let it go already inside your gut, your heart.
You compelled me to call because I love the way you think. I do love the way you think. And
I'm from another world, Pam. I live in a world that doesn't exist anymore. Now it's like abort the baby, you don't feel good, kill yourself. Go to the doctor so he can help you, kill your 11-year-old. If he doesn't feel good, you have gender identity disorder at 4. Let us cut off your schmendrick if you're a boy. Let us sew one on if you're a girl. That's the insane world I live in. I came from another universe. It's the Savage Nation. Maybe it's for you, maybe it isn't. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.